Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, for weeks now, Ken and his band of not-so-merry Frady Cats who are listening to the show have been saying that there was some kind of a conspiracy when it came to Dr. Boney and that I didn't want to have Dr. Boney on the show anymore. And I want to tell our pal, Dr. Maciek Boney, that that is not true. He is joining us right now on the Harbor One hotline. Doctor, how are you?
Very good. Greg, Jermaine, Danielle, how are you
Hello.
Guys?
Doing well.
How was your weekend? Did you get outside at all? What did you do over the weekend?
We did. We live in a small college town, so everybody does go outside. People do distance when they walk past each other, and not a lot of people go downtown. But in central Pennsylvania, we had nice weather this weekend.
I wanted to ask about if there, I know that a lot of this stuff, when it comes to numbers and rates and things, we won't know till the pandemic has ended and we can get all the data and all the information. But is there any new information when it comes to the mortality rate on COVID-19?
Yeah, the mortality rate's been started to be estimated in mid-February when we started to get good data coming in from China. And we talked about this before on the show, so let's remind the listeners that there's two mortality rates that are reported. So the case fatality rate, so if you have symptoms, has been reported to be somewhere in the 2 to 5% range, but it skews very high in the older age groups. So it's really the over 60, over 70 age group that make up the majority of that mortality. And the infection fatality rate, so the probability of death if you get infected at all, is somewhere around 0.5% or 1%, somewhere in between those two. And again, the groups that are most at risk are individuals over 60, over 70, immunocompromised individuals, and men a little bit more than women.
And how do those rates stack up when you compare them to other viruses?
Well, the infectious disease that causes the most direct or attributable deaths in the U.S. is influenza virus. In the winter, we can have between 10,000 in a mild season and maybe 70,000 deaths in a very bad flu season. So as you can see already in the U.S., we've reached 100,000 deaths in 3 months. So this virus is much more deadly. And the estimates are roughly that it's about 10 to 20 times as deadly as influenza virus.
Ken, you wanted to talk to the doctor about some activities?
Yeah, a bunch of summer activities, doctor, that have come out. I want to get your take on whether you think these are safe or not. First of all, religious services.
Well, religious services are normally held indoors, so I wouldn't put these in the safe category. And I know that on May 18th, when Massachusetts introduced its reopening guidelines, religious services were included in there with certain distancing and hygiene measures. So hypothetically speaking, if you have an indoor gathering place, religious services or otherwise, and you have people coming in one by one, and they're distancing by 6 feet, and nobody's touching the same doorknobs, and nobody's touching the same other types of objects, if you can arrange some type of gathering that way where people really do distance and don't touch the same things, it'll be much safer than your typical type of gathering or religious service. I don't know what people are doing in practice, but this is what we would recommend.
How about haircuts, barbers, and hairstylists?
Well, definitely, if you're getting a haircut, you and the stylist should both be wearing masks. And unfortunately, because this is close contact for, 20 minutes if you're a man, 60 minutes if you're a woman, this is a high-risk activity. The mask does not guarantee that you will not get infected. It'll reduce the chances somewhat, depending on the type of mask and depending if somebody has symptoms. So I would exercise extra caution. Wash your hands before. Wash your hands after. If you have symptoms, absolutely don't go get your hair cut that week. Wait another week till your symptoms pass.
And how about public restrooms?
Yeah, public restrooms are a tough one because you've got to touch the faucets and the doorknobs. What would I do in this situation? I mean, maybe I would open the door with my elbows. We're all laughing about this, but you try to do every little thing that you can to minimize your risk. Maybe go get a paper towel before you wash your hands and use the paper towel to turn the faucet on and then use that same or a new paper towel to open the door. So this, you would take these types of extra small measures to make sure you don't get anything on your hands, and then obviously don't touch your face. Wash your hands before you touch your face or any other route that could lead to infection.
Maybe you could bring like a monkey wrench with you everywhere you went.
Right.
And you could use that
like
to turn the hook.
They actually sell
gadgets for that now. It's a specialty.
Now, Dr. Bone, I had a question, right? You talk about the mortality rates, right? If you are compared to the flu, right? So if you're somebody that is, let's say you're, you know, under 50, you're relatively healthy, no pre-existing conditions, what's the like mortality rate compared to the flu in cases like that, you know, for healthy people? If you were to get the flu, if you were to get corona, the likelihood of you, you know, succumbing to it.
So the fatality rates for younger people are still higher for coronavirus than they are for influenza virus. But because they're both pretty low, we don't notice. So I'll give you an example. If the infection fatality rate for a healthy 40-year-old is 0.01% for influenza virus and it's 0.08% for coronavirus, the general segment of the population that's in their 40s won't really feel that difference because those two numbers are both pretty small. So the risk is still higher, but you don't really see that risk as a 40-year-old and much less as like a 20-something or a 30-something.
Dr. Boney, when it comes to some of the states that have reopened and the what apparently is a drop in cases there, how do you explain that?
Well, if reopening is going to cause a rise in cases, it's something that we'll see in 2 weeks and definitely in 3 weeks. So remember, when you get infected, from the moment that the virus gets into your nose or your throat, you won't develop symptoms for 5 or 6 days, and some people won't ever develop symptoms. So you might be one new case, and then it'll take you another couple days to pass it on to somebody else. So it might be 2 entire weeks before you see a slight uptick in cases. Now, some states have reopened, and they seem to be doing it with a stable case count. So that's Massachusetts. Massachusetts is sort of stabilized at about 1,000 cases a day. But some states have reopened with increasing case numbers, and Texas is one of these examples. And part of this comes from the messaging. I mean, it's the governor's job. It's the Department of Public Health. It's their job to communicate really effectively with the public and explain that, yes, we're reopening, but everyone, please, for the next 6 months and all summer, be careful, put these hygiene guidelines into place, try not to shake hands. These are very small and somewhat effective things that we can do to keep the case numbers down.
Dr. Boney, I want to get Nick on. He's calling from Rhode Island. Hey, Nick, you're on with Maciek Boney.
Greg, I appreciate it. Hi, Dr. Boney. I love your segment when you're on. I just had one quick question for you about when you were asked about the houses of worship and, you know, as long as nobody touches the same doorknobs, same surfaces, et cetera. Two things over the weekend came out from the CDC. One, that they lowered their mortality rate numbers quite drastically. But I think more importantly for this conversation, they also said that there is no proof now. And there was pretty strong language. There was no proof that the coronavirus does survive on surfaces. So is this doorknob touching each other, you know, touching the same type thing, the celery and the grocery store and the basket and the grocery store, all that kind of stuff? Does that worry start to go away in your eyes because the CDC is coming out and saying what we thought was sitting on surfaces for as long as 72 hours really is not the is not the case now as more and more facts come out?
Good question. Good question. Thank you, Nick. Doctor?
Okay, well, I'm very sorry to do this, but we're going to have to go from science over to politics for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, the CDC does fall under the federal government, and they are not free from influence from the White House, and the director of CDC is not somebody that's 100% dedicated to putting the best scientific information out there. So the CDC is the only organization that I know of that in the last couple of weeks came out with these new findings, and I haven't seen the data for these findings, and most of the community of epidemiologists that work on this, we have not seen these data. So the best data still indicate that a 0.5% to 1% is the true infection fatality rate. I think they changed those numbers because they wanted to paint an optimistic scenario about what summer could look like, but I don't think the facts bear out their conclusions on the death rate. And I really don't understand where they got information stating that the virus could not survive on surfaces. This is a virus that can be coughed out or sneezed out or even breathed out by an infected person. It doesn't survive very long just hanging in the air. So the primary mode of transmission has to be, you know, you getting it off somebody's hand or sharing a cup or touching something that they've touched recently. It's true that the virus doesn't survive for very long periods, but hours, probably tens of hours, it probably can survive on surfaces for that long.
So Ken should continue to wipe down his eggplant.
That's right, and just in general, washing your hands. And it's not necessarily about spending 8 or 10 minutes washing your hands. Wash your hands with high frequency, many times a day, every time you enter or exit a place that you're concerned, you know, you may have touched something or shaken somebody's hand.
So I think this is the thing that a lot of us want to know, right? Short of a vaccine, which who knows when that gets here, when do we say, okay, this is something that we have to now live with and we have to kind of go back to normal and open things up?
It's the new normal.
The new normal. But it's what you're saying. It's like, you know, think about it. If you're a healthy person, you know, like in the sense of, you know, your mortality rate is just a little bit higher. But when do we say we just need to be more diligent when it comes to washing our hands, using hand sanitizer, and basically going back to living with this virus that's not going nowhere?
Okay. I can give you my take on what I think the next 12 months would look like or should look like. If you're in the healthy person category, if you're 35, no other comorbidities or conditions, and you're comfortable going outside, your main responsibility at this point is to stay away from individuals that are over 70 and might be at risk, because you're putting yourself at a little bit higher risk, so don't put other people at risk. Now, April was full lockdown, and it looks like summer will not be full lockdown. It looks like people are going outdoors, and in fact, a lot of outdoor activities are very safe because as long as you're with a small group of people and you are not in large crowds. So summer is going to be more normal than April, and I think a lot of us are going to get through it and enjoy our summer maybe 20% as much as we normally do. But we do have to accept that from September to next spring, things are not going to be normal, and we're all going to have to return to high hand-washing frequency habits, low distancing, perhaps not a full lockdown because businesses will have to remain open. But until next spring, things just won't be normal. And it's next spring when we as a population will have acquired, say, 50% immunity to the virus, because half of us will have been infected. It's next spring that will allow us to return to a more normal nature of contact, because the virus will no longer be able to spread so easily. So just the final point I want to say on this is, if we're sacrificing summer 2020, we're doing this because we all believe that summer 2021 is going to be substantially better and either fully back to normal or almost back to a normal summer.
So if we hadn't done the full lockdown, would we have gotten to that 50% immunity scenario quicker?
We would have, but we would have gotten there with a lot more deaths. Okay. So, yeah, and that's the short answer.
Yeah. Okay.
So when you say next spring, so then what does that mean for, like, school kids, like kids that are going to high school or kids that are going to college? Because if you're saying, well, here's what we can do in the summer, but from September to the spring, what does that then mean for these kids that are going to school? And I'm not just talking about athletes or kids that are going to want to go to college football games, that kind of things, but just kids on campus.
Yeah. So I'm not going to have a good answer here, but this is what the entire planning community is focused on now, because the next major high contact events is kids returning to school in September. And so universities and schools all over the country are planning for this. Some have decided to go online. Some won't. And the ones that won't, there's going to be lots of new rules and guidelines in place to try to minimize the rates at which the virus will then spread through a college campus, say.
And as an epidemiologist or somebody who's a professor in that, where do you stand when it comes to sports, college football, NFL games? Would you say that fans could safely attend an event like that before the end of the year?
I would say that large gatherings, so gatherings where 50,000 or 100,000 people get together, these are the highest risk events, and they should be crossed off the list of the types of things that we're going to be doing for the next year. And this is a tough thing for me to say as a Penn State professor. We have the third biggest football stadium in the world here. 100,000 people come on 8 different weekends for home football games. And the university is going to spend a lot of time figuring out if they want to cancel those football games this year. I think they should, but this is not going to be an easy decision for them.
All right, doctor.
Wow.
Well, you gave us some good stuff this morning. Ken, any further questions for your guy, Dr. Boney?
You did a great job.
Okay.
I have one more question for Dr. Boney, actually.
Yes.
The president is going to be instituting a ban on any foreigners who have been through Brazil in the last 14 days, effective tomorrow. Dr. Boney, do you think that that's a good move, given that that's a pretty big hot spot right now?
Well, what's necessary in these situations is quarantine. So if somebody's coming in from a high-risk area, what you would normally do is you would ask them to quarantine themselves or give them a forced mandatory quarantine for 14 days, and if they get through that without symptoms, they can then just enter the country normally. Hmm. I'm not sure why he chose a ban over quarantine, but the quarantine would be the normal response in this situation.
Got it.
All right, Dr. Boney, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
There he is. So Dr. Boney says CDC, maybe we shouldn't be listening to the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
Political.
What a fastball.
Well, you were
chin.
Listening to everything they said for the first couple of months on this thing.
Oh, right. I know. They've been politically corrupted. You heard them.
They've been corrupted.
And he also said that schools should cancel sports.
Yes, yes.
Penn State.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Not a sports guy.
No. Nope.
Not a guy. No. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hi, Tom.
Hey, listen, I think this guy's new name should be Dr. Phony.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Oh, wait a second.
It's Ken's guy.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't know about Dr. Phony. The
just
man's an accomplished scholar.
But he
maybe Dr. Buzzkill.
Well, that could be one.
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about September to the spring, right? He's saying like, all right, that's when we really.
Saying a year of this. One full year.
That's why I ask, why can't we just, be more diligent in doing the things when he's saying that, he basically said that you're at a little bit higher of a risk if you are healthy, obviously don't have any pre-existing conditions, than the flu, right? So if one's
10 to 20 times higher.
But he's saying if one's 0.01 and the other one's 0.08, you wouldn't even like notice the difference.
I actually just found out this morning that Wiggy and Dr. Boney are doing play-by-play for a Madden game tonight for EEI.com.
WEEI.com.
Be better than the last one.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.